we get the 5 o'clock hour underway, though, by welcoming it. I'm not going to lie, he's one of our favorite people to talk to. The voice of the New England Patriots on the 98.5, the Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network, Bob Soucy with us. Hello there, Bob.
Hello, Rich. Feeling is mutual. Good to be with you again. It's been a while.
It has indeed. And man, it's been sneaking up on us, but here we are, ready for the start of another football season, but so much for summer.
Well, we still have a week plus, because I know this is a preseason game coming up on Sunday, and that means the end of the preseason, game number 3, and the regular season kicks off, of course, the next game. But I appreciate that extra week between the end of preseason and the start of the regular season, Labor Day weekend, you know, that last taste of summer. So I hope that there's no rain outside your window on those days, and looking forward to at least, you know, enjoying a little bit of time before we have to go off to Cincinnati for week one.
So I was trying to put this in proper perspective here. My brain is still locked into the old 4 preseason game schedule, and so I always knew, okay, game 3 of preseason, that's when we'll see a lot of the starters, and that's the one that really means anything. So now what does game 3 mean?
Well, according to Gerard Mayo this week, anybody who's healthy will play. And I think that you certainly have to take those words with some measure of, and not skepticism, but at least understanding that there may be some guys who are healthy that aren't going to play in the game because they don't want to put them in peril, particularly some veteran players who really don't need the experience as much. But I think from the Patriots' point of view, they've really approached this whole week, Rich, like it is a regular road game for them. Certainly not the implication, maybe not the level of scheming and the kind of game planning they'll do for Cincinnati, but really a trial run for that game in that they've worked the last couple of days in practice with a scout team running what Washington has done thus far in its first couple of games. And I think the whole idea is, okay, this is the only road game we get to play in the preseason. Let's get acclimated to what it's like in the week to prepare for going on the road, prepare for another opponent, which teams don't typically do in the preseason. There's not a lot of schematics. There's not a lot of scouting that goes on of the opposing team, for example, in the first two preseason games for the Patriots. So I think the idea is, especially with the young quarterbacks that they have, particularly Drake May, more so than Joe Milton, but Milton too, let's go into this game, let's get these guys more experience for the obvious reasons, they need to play football more, but also we get this opportunity to have a road game. We've gone through this week of preparation the way we will the following week as we prepare for Cincinnati and weeks thereafter as we prepare for road games. And let's use that as a great teaching opportunity for these guys.
When you look at a young quarterback like Drake May, Bob, what's the bigger challenge? Is it the physical need to go out there and complete passes and execute the offense, or the leadership piece, being the guy who's out there running the show on the field and running the huddle?
Well, I think you might say it's equal parts both, Rich, especially with Drake May, because here's someone who came into the NFL. You know, he had only played 2 seasons of football over the course of the last 4 years, really. His senior year of high school was canceled because of COVID. His freshman year at North Carolina, he didn't play very much. And so he was a starter for 2 seasons. When he comes into the NFL, he's only 21 years of age. He's a very athletically gifted young man, very sharp, very bright, great personality, strong leadership traits. So he's a very competitive young man, the youngest brother of 4. All of his brothers have gone on to play college, if not professional, basketball or baseball. 2 of the national champions, 1 for North Carolina basketball, another for the University of Florida baseball team. So he comes from good stock. His father played quarterback at North Carolina and had at least a little sniff of the NFL. But he's also a bit of a project, a developmental player, because he needed work on his footwork. He didn't have a lot of experience in an offense. In fact, he had no experience in an offense in college. It really resembles what an NFL offense looks like. Didn't make play calls. Everything was signaled in from the sideline. Didn't take snaps under center, with exception of a few in the red zone. Everything was out of the shotgun. You really didn't have the kind of verbiage as a quarterback that you have to communicate to all your teammates in the huddle with the long play calls the Patriots now have on the West Coast offense. So all of that was part of it. He had some mechanical things too, certainly most notably his footwork needed improvement. So those two areas, I think, you know, handling the operation from the standpoint of, now you're running an NFL offense, and how are you going to communicate to your teammates? And that's all part of the leadership equation, along with, you know, the physical part of it, actually reading coverages, going through your progressions, making sure your footwork remains consistent and that your throwing motion remains consistent. And he's worked really hard at all those things. I think they've managed him on a bit of a slower track than other picks in the first round as quarterbacks. Understandably so. They have Jacoby Brissett that I think they prepare, you know, they believe they're prepared to go with Brissett for the season opener and for the duration if they have to. But I think Drake May has made a lot of progress in those areas you asked me about. And therefore, now we're starting to hear a conversation around these parts, maybe some of it overreaction. maybe the time frame is a little sooner rather than later.
Well, whoever's back there at quarterback, they need to be protected. And certainly there are some questions right now about that offensive line. Is there a tackle out there somewhere that they can reel in?
Well, you know, there are a couple of free agent tackles still available outside of the organization, outside of football right now. I've mentioned a lot, Donovan Smith, the former Buccaneer, as well as David Bakhtiari, the former Green Bay Packer. There's a guy that they reportedly have some interest in who's just let go, Dennis Daly, who started a bit for Tennessee a couple of years ago. But you're absolutely right, and that's a big part of the equation, too, with May and his development. And it's the reason why he didn't play very much in the first game. He played only six snaps, one series, in week one versus Carolina. They didn't have an offensive line starting group that could go very long in that game. David Andrews, the center, had missed some time early in training camp. They had two other players at the start of that game who had missed practice time the week before. So the idea in that game was, let's get him in there, let's get him out of there before something goes wrong. They didn't have a lot of confidence, it seemed, in the offensive line. And there are still huge questions, as you said, regarding the offensive line. Earlier today, they did some mixing and matching. Michael Wenner, who's been mainly at guard this training camp and preseason, could kick out and play right tackle in today's practice, which is what he's played a couple of different years for the Patriots, including last year in a pinch. They put rookie Layden Robinson, drafted out of Arkansas this year, in his guard spot. They've moved some other people in and out of the other tackle spot. So I think they're still trying to find those five guys who work in tandem well enough just to be the starting offensive line for Cincinnati. That doesn't even begin to address the depth on the offensive line. And so there's a lot of work to be done coming off a season where you go 4-13 and you've got the third worst record. You know, you pick third in the draft. You also pick third on the waiver wire. So as teams start to make cutdowns next week, I think the Patriots will be very active trying to find one of those tackles that might be out there. But that's not the best. Obviously, that's not the best way to build an offensive line.
We're talking with Bob Soucy here on Downtown. The defense has looked very solid, particularly in the Philadelphia game. And we knew he was going to be pretty good. But Keon White seems to have taken a giant step forward.
No question. Now, keeping in mind that the players they were going up against from Philadelphia were not named Jalen Hurts,
right?
AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, and their starting offensive line, and the same with Carolina. But there's no question, Rich, the defense is the strength, even without Christian Barmore, who they lost because of blood clots diagnosed earlier this year, and without Matthew Judon, who, of course, is now with the Atlanta Falcons. Two big losses for them defensively. They're two best defensive players over the last few years. Certainly Judon remains, I think, when healthy, an elite pass rusher. That being said, one of the things that I think they really feel confident about is Keon White's ability to take a jump, and with good reason, because we've seen it thus far in practices day after day, and as you mentioned, during the preseason games. And we even saw a bit of it last year, that this guy showed flashes, incredibly strong, high motor, can play inside and out. He's another tremendous athlete. This is someone who was a college tight end before he made the conversion to defense. And I think he has a huge upside. Obviously, you don't replace a guy like Judon and a guy like Barmore with just one player. I think they're going to have to try to do that by committee, but they really feel very good about all their depth defensively, up front, at linebacker, and in the secondary.
What's it been like so far with a brand new head coach there after so many years of Coach Bill?
Yeah, you know, it's been a much different atmosphere in a lot of respects. And the most obvious and I think the most appreciated for the media is there's been a lot more access to coaches. Players have been, I think, more open, not as guarded with what they say. Gerard Mayo's been, I think, if not totally transparent, because no football coach is, I think he's been about as transparent as you can expect an NFL head coach to be to this point. And you know, he's certainly come off, according to his players, as someone who really, and he's been very open about this. He professes that before you can lead someone, you have to show them that you care about them. And he's a former player. And so there has been, you know, this level of dialogue here that is centered around the whole idea of the old cliche, he's a player's coach. But I've got to say that, you know, and he bristles at it, and I think with good reason, because they have still practiced and done things in a lot of ways that are very consistent with what we used to see. In fact, I said to someone today, Rich, it seemed like they've continued to add periods in time while practicing. And not only that, the practices seem to be a lot harder than they were the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, Bill certainly was very flexible in that regard with the way he ran his preseason camp in recent years. And so I think in Mayo's case, he's really trying to do things that are consistent with his personality, what he believes. I think that's informed by some of the experiences he's had in the business world, but also working in the media, where he wants to be someone who has a team, that, you know, players who are treated like men, who are able to speak their minds, but, you know, in his mind, don't create distractions for the team and don't take away from winning. He wants to have a good relationship with the media as the conduit to the fans, very important there. But at the same time, you know, a lot of Patriot principles are in practice every day, even with a vastly changed coaching staff. It's a much bigger coaching staff. He added 17 coaches this year and a lot of new faces on the offense, obviously. So I think, you know, ideally for the Patriots, it's the best of both worlds by the end of the year. But they've got a long way to go. And he's on a learning curve. He's learned from some things this year. He has told us up front, look, I'm going to make mistakes. You know, I should be criticized for those, but I'm going to learn. And I think that's what we're seeing so far.
And Bob, you mentioned that Patriots open at Cincinnati Sunday, September 8th. I'm looking through the travel schedule here this year. You get to go to San Francisco, Nashville. Sounds like some pretty nice trips. Do you have any road favorite cities that you enjoy visiting more than others, perhaps?
There definitely are the road stadiums that I definitely enjoy more than others. And that's a big part of it, Rich, because we're not there for long.
Right.
Usually, you know, we go in on Saturday and we leave right after the game on Sunday. So usually the things you appreciate most, okay, what kind of restaurants are there? What's the broadcast booth like? How do they feed you in the broadcast, you know, near the broadcast booth in the press box? And there are certainly some places that I really enjoy more than others calling games from. But what I'm most excited about this year, when I look at our road schedule, is a city that I have not been to yet. And I'm kind of somewhat embarrassed to say this. Not that we should be assumed to be globetrotters. You know, I've been fortunate to get to Europe a couple of times, but haven't had a lot of experience across the pond. But on Sunday, October 20th, the Patriots will be playing at Wembley Stadium against the Jacksonville
Jaguars.
Right,
right.
And that date has been circled on my calendar for a long, long time. I can't wait to do it.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. That's better than some of the places that I have to visit this year on the road. But
I hope there's no. I hope there are no listeners from Duval County. I mean, I've been to Jacksonville before, but I'm looking forward to London playing the Jaguars in one of their home games at Wembley. A lot more than I look forward to the last visit we made.
Why, absolutely, yes. Now, did you take a little side trip to Pittsburgh?
Toronto recently. Pittsburgh, I love Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a very underrated.
Well, I saw on social media you had a Roberto Clemente post.
Well, it was the anniversary of his birth, 1934, a few days ago, and I did take a trip to Pittsburgh. Those photos were actually taken a couple of years ago before the Patriots played the Steelers early in the season. And if you've never been to Pittsburgh, by the way, and you are a sports fan, it's a great place.
Oh, it sure is.
Particularly, you know, the baseball setup with PNC Park right next to Heinz Field. Well, I say Heinz Field, it's not Heinz Field anymore. Next to the stadium where the Steelers play. It's across the, I think it's the Ohio, from downtown. You're right at the confluence of the Three Rivers. Downtown is underrated. Some good restaurants there. Some beautiful, beautiful old architecture. You know, when you think about the city of Pittsburgh and you know, how affluent and instrumental you know, that city was, you know, in the growth of this country, and you know, now it's changed because we're, you know, very successful in healthcare in particular, and in a lot of other ways over the course of time transforming itself. But the downtown area is really wonderful. And the Penguins play as well in that same general vicinity on an opposite side of the river from the baseball and football stadium. But you can walk from the downtown area where we stay on a pedestrian bridge that takes
right
alongside PNC Park next to Heinz, next to the Steelers Stadium. And the cool thing is, too, is like there are breweries, and you know, on a nice night like in early September when the Patriots were there 2 years ago, you've got bands playing there. But all along the way, as you walk on the riverfront, there are statues and sculptures, many of them non-sports related. But boy, when you get to the baseball and football stadiums, there's a you know, one after another, tributes to the Homestead Graves, the Pittsburgh Crawfords, the old Negro League teams, tributes to the Pirates, statues of Willie Stargell, Bill Mazeroski, and of course the great Roberto Clemente. And then there's the Steelers, you know, home, and you've got a statue of Art Rooney outside that stadium, and it's at a point again at the confluence. There's a science center across the way. It's really a spectacular place to go. And if you're a big sports fan, the baseball park there is one of the best. The football stadium is a great place to watch a game. And I imagine, I've never been to a Penguins game, but I would imagine the same is true there.
It's a great city, but I don't know if this was your experience. Maine played Pitt there a few years ago in the stadium formerly known as Heinz, but the visiting radio broadcast booth was literally looking down from our window at one end zone. And so I could barely see anything inside the 20 in the other direction because it was at the complete opposite end of the stadium.
Ritz, let me tell you about the new broadcast booth.
Oh.
That's one of the better vantage points, you know, and not that it's a new stadium anymore. But, yeah, it's a different world now. I mean, we are
good.
Spoiled at Gillette Stadium because our booth is right at midfield, and it's on the concourse level. Most of the stadiums now, you are in the corner, and a lot of them you're behind the goal line in the end zone. The view you get in a lot of NFL stadiums, and it will be this way. Washington is probably the second worst in the league. Some would say it's the worst compared to Miami. But the view we will get, you will be in the corner of an end zone very low, and the entire and the field is not only you're not only in the corner of the end zone, but the field is far away from where you are, and the field is going away from you.
Yeah.
So if there's a throw, let's say from the right hash mark to the left side of the field, and the offense is going away from you, you have no clue what yard line it was caught on or where the tackle was made, et cetera. That's the reality of the NFL. I'm on a text thread with other NFL broadcasters, radio guys, and it's a constant stream of complaints about this broadcast booth or that broadcast booth. I try to keep quiet and not take for granted how good we have it at Gillette Stadium.
Yes, we did a game there a few years ago when Maine played UMass. That was a wonderful setup, but there are some challenges along the way. It's not all glamour in this crazy radio business, Bob, is it?
Well, it's not, but then again, to probably those out there listening right now, you know, it may not be as glamorous as others imagine it to be, but, you know, it sure beats having to work for a living. We get paid to go watch a game and talk about a game. Yeah, you know, so I always look at it that way too, Rich. It's a labor of love. You know, as I told a young person the other day, one of the old cliches that we utter in this business when we're advising young people who want to get into broadcasting, and you try to console them for their choice. Yeah, find a job you love and you'll never work a day in your life. And that's really the great thing about broadcasting. Don't get into radio for the money.
No. But it is fun, and I'm looking at the main schedule. I'll be thinking of you at Wembley Stadium while I'm at Kingston, Rhode Island. It's almost the same thing.
I'm not, I shouldn't laugh at that about a good friend south of here. But, you guys, I love when you're traveling to follow your updates, going to coffee houses, trying to find the best coffee in college football on the quaint settings. There is still as much, and I'm going to sound like I'm paying lip service, and I'm not. And it could be an SEC stadium, could be the Big House in Michigan, 110,000, or it could be a quaint stadium on a college campus in October when the colors are turning. And there really, really is something truly special about the setting, the environment. I love the bands. I love the build-up to a game. Mm. It could be two bad teams, but if it's a rivalry, there's nothing like it. And there's such a great spirit about college football, and I think it's really at its purest form in the lower levels. And if not to disparage the Bears, some people that I know in that neck of the woods certainly would not like that. Some former great Maine players, I think there really is there's a special quality about it, and the NFL is great. I love the NFL, and I I've done college football for a long time, but what you get to do you chronicle it very well. You capture it very well with your social media posts. Now that's really something that shouldn't be taken for granted. I think people, maybe it doesn't come off as glamorous, but it really is enriching. It's really a very rewarding opportunity.
No, I love doing it. And my perfect fall weekend, as I've told you before, it's doing a Maine Black Bears game on a Saturday and then taking my Sunday afternoon to relax by sitting on the front porch with a cold beverage and listening to you do your thing on the Patriots games.
Well, I really appreciate it. You're someone who's been, from day one here calling the Pats games in 2013, someone who's been very kind to me. And like I said, I love following your post. One of these days, I've got to actually get to a Maine game. And, we can share a beverage together in a stein, no less. We'll raise our stein. And have an adult beverage. But that'd be great.
That's a plan indeed, Bob. Bob, we thank you as always. Great to talk with you. Good luck with the coming season, and we look forward to you to talking with you throughout the course of the season and catching up on these Patriots as they begin the road back.
Yeah, it's going to be a long road, Rich, but I'm really looking forward to it. And I think there are a lot of positive signs that we've seen over the last couple of weeks. And people are going to be pleased with some of the young players that they see out there. If May continues to progress, certainly, but a guy like Jalen Fulk is one to watch. Some of the other young players that you referenced, Keon Lett is a second-year player. I think people will be impressed by it. It's going to take a while, but they're on the right track. I think they really are on the right path in a lot of respects. So I look forward to it, and I look forward to the next time we get a chance to chat.
That sounds great. Thank you, Bob. Have a great season, and we'll catch you again soon.
You bet. All the best. That's bye-bye.
Bob Soucy, voice of the Patriots, the 98.5 Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network here on Downtown.